It is a joy to be with you all today as I come to you from Greenville, South Carolina. It was a pleasure to receive the invitation from the session, so I do thank the session for the opportunity to bring the word to you. Dr. Lemon said, I did know the Grassos back in Greenville, and I found I also have some other mutual friends back there. So it's a reminder of the joy we have in the communion of the saints all across the globe, those who come together to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we will read from Ruth chapter 3, and I'd ask you to rise for the reading of the Word of God. Ruth chapter 3. And before we read, I would remind you of the context of our story, where in chapter 1 there is the need for a redeemer, where Ruth and Naomi suffered the loss of their husbands in the land of Moab, where Naomi had gone and had found there that she lost everything, that the Lord was sovereignly drawing her back to himself, back to the land of promise. And they had journeyed back in chapter 2, and it was there in chapter 2 that we saw the initial setup for the prologue of redemption in their lives as they meet the man Boaz, who seems to promise great things for their future. And now, as we turn to chapter 3, we begin to see the Lord work in Ruth's life to bring this redemption. So pay careful attention now to the reading of the Word of God. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young woman you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself, put on your best garment, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be, when he lies down, that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do." And she said to her, "All that you say to me, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself. And there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" So she answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." Then he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Now it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that, if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you, as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, and she arose before one could recognize another. Then he said, "Do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." Also he said, "Bring the shawl that is on you and hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Is that you, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, "These 6 ephahs of barley he gave me. For he said to me, 'Do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" Then she said, "Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter today." Thus ends the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask as we open up the scriptures that your spirit would so come and illuminate this message that we might see more of Jesus, We pray, Lord, that we would receive this word with faith and love, lay it up in our hearts, and practice it in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's possible to reach a plateau in the Christian life. It's possible to have so much going on as you're busy with day-to-day affairs that you can't think about the bigger picture. Kids, school, crazy work schedules, vacation planning, medical problems, moving to a new house. So many things can interrupt your thought about the big picture and distract you from what really matters. You can be worried about just surviving the week, let alone planning for the next 20 or 30 years. In the busyness of life, this is something that you all experience. And as we look here in our context at Ruth, as she has come back into the land of Judah, is in the city of Bethlehem, she has come at the end of verse 2 to the end of barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she is living with her mother-in-law, Naomi. It's at this moment that if the story ended, if this account did not go on any farther, that she perhaps would have settled into a routine of life where the normal activities continued indefinitely. Year to year, the same things happen again and again and again. She had hit a plateau, as it were. She, in fact, could continue in this way, but she had a need that had yet to be provided. That unless she found the answer to her deeper need in the person of a Redeemer, that she would never experience God's greater work in her life that God had begun to prepare for her. She might be fine now, but there was no provision for her future. It was like living without insurance, where for a time it's going okay, but the moment when everything turns the wrong direction, then all changes. This text gives us direction both for ourselves and how to live, but also points us the way to the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what we are going to look at in this text, particularly as we look at your need for rest in a Redeemer. And we'll answer this through looking at four different questions, beginning, first of all, as we look at verse 1 with the question, what is it that she needed? Well, look with me in verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you?" Security is something that she needed. In other translations, the word is used of rest. This is the same word that Naomi used as she uttered a prayer in chapter 1 for her daughter-in-law, in verse 9, where she prayed, "The Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband." There was something missing yet from Ruth's life here as she continued in the day-to-day busyness of what was going on. She was missing this rest that can only come in the house of a husband. This young widow left without her man. And the rest particularly that the husband would provide are at least three things. As a widowed woman, first of all, she needed protection. You imagine being in a dark alley at night, a woman alone somewhere here nearby, and being in that place without a guard, without a security or protection or a way to be guarded. This is much like the time of the judges, the setting of this book, a time of anarchy and lawlessness, where if you turned only a few chapters back, you'd find brutal accounts of assaults, which, if they were happening today, would be in the daily newspapers for weeks. This was a time where it was not appropriate for a woman to be without the protection of a man, and she needed that protection in a husband. But second, she also needed a future. Without children, without anything to provide for her in the future to come, then she would not have anyone in her old age. And she needed this provision for a future. And third, and most importantly, she needed payment of her debts. Now, when Naomi had left from the land of Judah into the land of Moab, you see that Elimelech, her husband, had to let go of the land that was properly his there in the place of Israel. The land which God had promised forever would remain among each family. But as one who could no longer provide for his family, he would have had to sell that land as he departed then into the pagan land of Moab, leaving behind the promises of God and exchanging that for the pleasures of this world of paganism. But there was a land that was still there, a land which belonged to that family, but a land which needed redemption in order to once again be brought back into the family of Naomi and Ruth. And the only way that this land could once again be brought back in was through a redeemer, someone to come and to pay what was owed so that they could once again take the inheritance of that land and pass it on through their family generations. And this is what Ruth needed and Naomi needed, someone to pay her debts. Without this redeemer, the family line in Israel would die out. The land would be lost. And it was the redeemer, ultimately, who would function as the wings of the Almighty coming into their family to care for them. And without a redeemer, their situation in the long term would be grim. I think right away here, as we look at this verse, there are a couple lessons for us. First, as we look at Naomi seeking rest or security for her daughter-in-law, you should note that godly marriage should be a place of rest. That when a man and a woman are brought together in marriage under God and have him as the center of their lives, then marriage is a gift to man. Regardless of what is happening in your job, in your school, in the workplace, or in the world out there, the home that's a godly home is a place of rest, a place of godly security. The home is, as it were, the place where the wings of the Almighty come and where God makes himself known as the whole family rests under the shadow of God's wings. It's a little civilization, a government, as it were, a little token place on earth where God is with his people and a light shines among his people. And just because that you might have all of the income that you need, a nice house, comfortable living, doesn't mean that you have this kind of rest. This kind of rest is something that only the Lord himself grants to those who are hidden in him, for those who walk with him. And on the other side, it could be that you don't have much at all, that you are struggling from day to day to get through, and you don't know what will happen. But yet, where the Lord is with his people, then your home will be a place of rest. It's a promise to God's people. And this is why it's so hateful when the world begins to creep into the home, when the entertainment, when the culture, when all of the friends and other influences can come into a home and make it a place where it's no longer a place of rest. And it's a place where, in fact, siblings are at war with each other, where husbands and wives are at odds with one another, where the home becomes a battlefield rather than a refuge. This is not a home of rest. And so I ask you today, are you asking the Lord to make your home a place of rest? Christ died to save his people from their sins, and this includes particular sins that would prevent your home from being a place of rest. That by his death, he purchased everything that you need to have a home that is a place of rest. And as you go to him in prayer, and perhaps this is not something that you see right now, you can go on your knees and ask him, Lord, make my home a place of rest, a place of security, godly rest with you. Now you young people, children, this is your responsibility as well and your privilege. As you too come to the Lord and you seek to make that home a place of rest where your parents can come home and where you all can be together under the wings of the Almighty. Rest is a place that we should have in marriage. If you do enjoy this, then praise God. It's one of the greatest joys on earth to have a place of rest. And you see here, this is why Naomi wanted it so much for Ruth to enjoy that rest and godly security. Even more importantly, you need rest from the debt of sin, that you are guilty by nature and you're corrupting every part of your being. And without the rest that God provides by bringing a redeemer to pay the debt that you owed, then you would not have that rest at all. No reconciliation with God, but only war and enmity with him from day to day. You could try to ignore your debt of sin, to smother it, to simply drown it out with entertainment and with your business, your vacations, things of this world. You could drown it out with psychology and other ways of trying to mitigate the sense of what weight of sin we really have. But yet, God, in fact, would recognize you still owe a debt to him. And apart from someone to pay that debt, the Redeemer, then you would have no hope at all. You'd be treading water. You can never pay back anything that you have owed. And here, as Naomi is desiring to provide this Redeemer for Ruth, as we begin to look at the man about to emerge as the Redeemer, we see that your greater need is that redemption from the guilt and the weight of sin. So today, are you pretending you don't need rest from sin? Are you trying to mitigate it or to otherwise make it seem as if you're not the sinner that you truly are? To look at your sin in a different way than God does? If you do, then you'll never come and seek the Redeemer. But yet, the more that you see the weight and the guilt of sin, then the more glorious then the Redeemer becomes. And the more that he will delight to come into your life to show you the salvation that he brings, even for particular sins. Ruth needed rest in a household through marriage. And that brings us then to consider the question, not only what did she need, but who could fulfill her need? And so in verse 2, Naomi goes on, "Now Boaz, whose young woman you were with, is he not our relative?" Look at this man, he is in fact a relative of us, the one that you see every day as you work in the fields. Boaz is the man for the job. And there are at least four ways where he provides everything that's needed for the redemption that Ruth is looking for. And he is, first of all, as we see, a relative. He's a man who would care for her as his own flesh. The natural bonds of family would gravitate him in order to care for her as a long-lost relative. But more than that, as the one who is a close relative, that he is the one who is in line to fulfill the law of Deuteronomy 25, where God had made it clear that when a man lost his life, then his brother was to marry the widow and to care for her as his own flesh, and so that their line would not die out in Israel and that the land would remain among that family. And as one who is a close relative, he in fact is the one that is capable of fulfilling that law. He is one that God has providentially placed in their path so that it's inescapable. They know this is the man who she should pursue. He is a close relative. And in fact, other translations like the ESV put here the Redeemer. He is a close relative who is the one who is expected to accomplish redemption for her. He's not only a relative, but he's also a godly man. In chapter 2, over and over, we see his demonstration of the loving kindness of the Lord. As one who himself had experienced the loving kindness of the Lord, he then reflected that in his treatment of Ruth and Naomi as a godly man, captivated himself with the loving kindness of the Lord. He was furthermore wealthy, possessing all that was needed to pay for the debt that Naomi and Ruth owe and able to restore the land to them. If Ruth married this man, then she would no longer have any needs of her own. That she, in fact, would find that everything that was Boaz's would be hers. Through marriage to this godly man, a kind of kingly provider-protector, through that union, then all that was Boaz's would become hers. And not only all these things, but on top of that, he is also available. He's the one who is, in fact, that very moment, winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. He's not so inaccessible that he can't be talked to. He's not someone that's so distant and far away, high and lofty, that she could never communicate with him. But he is, in fact, available. Do you see in this a faint picture of the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see in here how Jesus Christ is, as it were, the greater Boaz, that the one who is the Redeemer of God's elect, as our catechism says, is the Lord Jesus Christ, who became man, who took on our flesh as our relative, one of our people, one of our kin, who is the one who can offer to you and I redemption today. It's through him that you come to know the loving kindness of the Lord, especially through his redemption on the cross. He is the one who is wealthy beyond all measure, who has everything in heaven and on earth, the one who offered up the infinite sacrifice of himself in payment of the debt of sin. Nobody else can pay what he could pay. He is the one only who could give the free gift of his righteousness to his people. You think of Ruth as one who had nothing to contribute. This was, in a sense, a one-way marriage where Boaz had everything. She had nothing of her own to offer. She had come to Judah with nothing but the clothes on her back. And yet, Boaz is the one who is soon to be the one to redeem her. And our Lord Jesus Christ himself is available to us. He's not hard to find. He's one who is clearly set before us as crucified. And he's the one, in fact, who said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It's that rest that he offers. He's gentle and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. In the Greek version of the Old Testament, it's the same word here. The rest, the security that's found in Christ is something that is foreshadowed here as Ruth is about to find this rest in her Redeemer, Boaz, the one who himself had come to know the greater Savior, the Messiah to come. It's in Christ you'll find rest for your souls, in Christ only. One other place where the scripture uses this word rest is in regards to the Sabbath day, that as the Sabbath rest is something that's it's the privilege of the Christian to enjoy, that we find rest in Christ as enjoyed in the weekly Sabbath. It's as you come to the Lord's day that you set aside all the other cares and concerns of your life that you demonstrate a rest in Christ. Are you resting in Christ? Are you resting in him today? Is the Lord's Day simply another day on the calendar? Or is it the chief joy and pleasure as you anticipate the glories of being with your Redeemer forever in heaven, resting in him who is gentle and lowly? Are you at rest? In the world today, there are many competitors for the rest that Christ provides, many pseudo-rests that are given. It may be the state and its offers of care from womb to tomb, offers to, in some way, to give a worldly kind of rest. But ultimately, it's only Christ who makes the restful home. It's only Christ who makes the restful marriage. It's only Christ who can make the restful workplace, the restful trip to the grocery store. It's Christ who himself is our rest, and when he is yours, then everything that he has becomes yours too. As Ruth here is seeking her Redeemer, then see in him a picture of your Redeemer, the Lord Jesus. So the question then arises, if he is the one that they are to seek, Boaz is the one Ruth must seek, then how will she seek him? And so in verses 3-5, we see then the plan that Naomi has as she begins to form this plan in order to seek the Redeemer. And so consider, first of all, what it is Naomi had planned to do. In verse 3, she tells Ruth to wash yourself, anoint yourself, put on your best garment, and go down to the threshing floor. And essentially what she's telling her to do is to wash up, clean up, make yourself attractive, and then go perhaps to the community dinner tonight, the celebration of the end of harvest, the time when all the people would gather and to celebrate God's goodness and having brought the fruit of the land into the threshing floor. As she was to go there, she was then to wait until Boaz had finished eating and drinking himself and then had gone to the grain and had laid down near the pile in order to rest, to stay the night, to perhaps guard the pile of his grain. And she was then to wait until he fell asleep and to go to uncover his feet, to lie down there and then wait until he woke up and let him tell her what to do. And now, I don't know if you're like me, but the question always comes up, why this plan? Is this something that is godly, in fact? Is this questionable? Is this something that anyone else should emulate? Well, just because, number one, something is in the Bible doesn't mean it's something that necessarily you are called to do. It's one interpretive mistake many people make as they look at the scriptures and they're befuddled with accounts in the scriptures of even the saints sinning in the scriptures. But yet I don't believe that in this case we have any reason to believe that there's anything nefarious going on. As you look here at how the scripture presents this, we see that these people are presented as godly and wholesome people. That Ruth is commended shortly in a few verses as a virtuous woman. That Boaz in the last chapter was commended as a virtuous man. A man who modeled and emulated the loving kindness of the Lord. And as we look here, we see that furthermore, if Naomi had called Ruth to this action, and if it was evil, it would in fact jeopardize the chances of marriage because Boaz was a godly man. And so there's no reason to do anything that would be ungodly. It would threaten the possibility of marriage to this man. And furthermore, when Ruth says that she will do all her mother-in-law commanded her in verse 5, this woman, this virtuous woman, surely would never have done anything that would bring shame to the name of her Lord or to the name of her family. And so while we may not understand all the cultural situation around here and the exact circumstances, what we can say firmly is that what is happening here is something that God in his providence brought them to and that he was going to work through these godly people to bring about this redemption. It's unusual, yet it's a godly action rooted in Naomi's absolute confidence in the godliness of both people. What is clear is that Ruth acted with earnestness, with faith, with a desire after seeking this Redeemer. And this should remind you that even as she sought her Redeemer in this way, that Christian growth doesn't happen automatically. That the sanctification that you are called to, that the Lord works in your life by his Spirit, isn't just something zapped into you. That Ruth, in fact, sought the Redeemer with all of her heart, soul, mind, and strength. You also are called to activity in seeking the Lord. If you didn't believe in Christ, if you do not believe in him, you're called to trust in him. If you're a Christian and have been a Christian for a long time, then you're to continue seeking him with all of your heart, with all of your soul. Even as Deuteronomy 4:29 says that you will seek the Lord God and you will find him. If you search after him with all of your heart and with all your soul. Matthew 7, and Jesus, our greater Redeemer, says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks it will be opened. It's Christ, your greater Redeemer, who then calls on you to seek him actively. To not passively wait for him to come, but he in fact says, I'm here. I'm available. I am the one who calls you to seek actively. And if you don't feel the desire to seek after him, if your love is lagging, if you don't have that first love, then cry out to him, Lord, give me that zeal to continue seeking you every day of my life and seek him repeatedly, whether you're a husband, a wife, a daughter, a son, a coworker, a business owner, seek the Lord in order to follow after him in every aspect of your life. Teach your children to seek Christ. You see how it is that just because Ruth was in the promised land, so to speak, the church, as it were, of the Old Testament, it didn't mean that she was yet wedded to her Redeemer. She still needed to seek that rest in the glory and beauty of her Redeemer, and to finding him all of the security that she needed. She still as someone who was in the church, within the visible bounds, was not yet married to her Redeemer. And so seek your Redeemer. For as parents, seek rest for your children in the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus. People seeking marriage, seek God through that marriage so that you can be a picture of that kind of union that Ruth here was about to enjoy. The Lord Jesus Christ is that one that she was seeking, and she sought him with all of her heart. As Ruth went to seek her Redeemer, then the question becomes, how did the Redeemer receive her? So this is the plan thus far, but how is it that she then is going to be received? And so in the remaining verses from 6 to 18, in short, the plan went as expected, that Ruth went down from Bethlehem to this place where they had for a threshing floor. It was there that she met the man Boaz. She found him in the corner as he was going to sleep, where she lay down at his feet, uncovered the feet, and then finally he woke up. And notice with me what it is that he asks and what she says. In verse 9, he asks, "Who are you?" And she says, "I am Ruth, your maidservant." She's no longer Ruth the Moabite. In all the previous instances of mentioning of her name, she is the one who is, in fact, always referred to as the Moabite. But yet here, she doesn't call herself the Moabite. She is, in fact, his maidservant, one who is qualified to be married to him. And she has left behind all of the pagan gods of Moab. She has a new identity in her true Redeemer, the Lord. And she has come and to offer herself in this proposal of godly marriage. It's here that she makes her request, where she says in verse 9, "Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative, a Redeemer." She asks him to do for her what the Lord had promised for his people as their Redeemer. In verses of Psalm 36, verse 7, then the psalmist praises the Lord, "How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings." In Psalm 91, 4, "He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge." Deuteronomy 32, 11 to 13, "Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out his wings, catching them, bearing them on its pinions, the Lord alone guided Israel." It's this Redeemer that she sought, and this one who, in Boaz, she was asking him to cover her, as it were, with his feathers, as the Lord, the God of Israel himself, covered over the children of Israel as their greater Redeemer. Jesus himself, as he looked over Jerusalem, said, "How I long to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and yet you would not." The Lord offers himself as the Redeemer, the one who will spread his wings over his people to offer that protection in the marriage, the union that the bride of Christ has with him. And so Ruth here is asking Boaz to take her to be his wedded wife and to show her that redemption. And what is it that he responds? There's at least three things that he does in response. First of all, he responds with a blessing in verse 10. "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich." She didn't go after young men who were poor but yet good looking. She didn't go after other young men because they were rich. She went after the one who was the one that the law of God provided, the godly man who was there in her life, a likely much older man than her, because she was a woman who was captivated with love to the God of Israel. And she wanted a man who also was the one who loved the God of Israel and could be that Redeemer. And so he offers a blessing to her. He calls her, in verse 11, a virtuous woman. And back in the time when all of these books were in scrolls, then the scribes would often put the book of Ruth after the book of Proverbs. after Proverbs 31, the chapter about the godly, virtuous woman, because Ruth was the ultimate picture of this virtuous woman, the one that had come to know the loving kindness of the Lord. And so she is here praised with a blessing as one who is known for her selfless love. He offers also a promise in verse 11. He tells her not to fear, but he will endeavor to do the role of a redeemer. There's another man who is a closer redeemer, we'll find something unexpected. We would see more in the next chapter. But yet Boaz is one who, as one who loves the Lord God of Israel and who wants to fulfill the need of this poor widow woman, promises redemption. And then he follows that up with action in verse 15, where he gives her a down payment of a future reward, giving her the 6 ephahs of barley and laying it upon her. And then she goes back into the city where she talks then with her mother-in-law Naomi and praises the Lord for his goodness to her in the success of this plan, as the Lord had orchestrated all these things in order to bring about redemption. Do you see here again how Boaz is a picture of the Lord Jesus to all those who come to him in faith? That he, the Lord Jesus, responds also with blessing, with promises, and with action to his people. You don't only come to Christ once in your life, but as often as you see your need for a redeemer, for every sin in your life, for every desire to grow, to be more like him, everything that he has becomes yours. And so you seek him in order to find it. And he receives all who come to him readily, as Jesus said in John 6, that all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Isaiah 55, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Incline your ear to me. Come, hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast covenant, love for David. And then in Revelation 22, where at the very last chapter of the scripture, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. And this is what Ruth enjoyed as she came to her Redeemer and as he received her as this godly man, as one who did not turn her away, but in fact received her. And this should remind you of what the promises of God in Philippians 4:19, when Paul said by the Spirit that my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, the Redeemer, the greater one. It's through him that he supplies all your need. This is why you have no reason to delay coming to Christ. Whether you have never trusted in Christ or whether you are struggling with a particular need right now, that Christ is always there for those who come to him in faith. That there is no reason to avoid coming to him daily as a believer in him. He offers you himself as a savior to deliver you from all that you need, from delivering you from particular sins, from envy, greed, anger, passivity in life. He's a willing redeemer. And this is a glorious thing as we see that the Lord is giving us an illustration of the kind of redeemer that he is and showing us the redeemer of Ruth. Ultimately, it is the church as the bride of Christ that together he has come to redeem that whole body in one. And as you unite yourself to the visible body of Christ, and particularly as you are part of his invisible church, all those who are truly born again, that you partake of everything that is Christ's. And note with me, as we bring this toward the close, one of the most significant questions asked in this chapter, that down in verse 16, as Ruth comes back to Naomi, then Naomi asks her a question. And this may be a footnote in your Bible, but really literally what she asks Ruth is, who are you, my daughter? She's asking her, what is your status? Are you a changed person? Are you the same Ruth as you were before you went? She's asking her, are you one who has received a promise of engagement? Are you one who's soon to be united with this Redeemer, the man Boaz? Who are you? Because a changed relation meant a changed life. A changed relation meant a changed life. And you see that it's through this union about to come of the Redeemer Boaz to Ruth that she has a changed life. Everything that is Boaz's became hers with the blessing and the promise and the action. Isn't this a glorious picture of redemption of what Jesus offers to his people for every practical need in their lives, in your life today? You have no need to plateau in the Christian life. It's a temptation on the part of the Christian to simply go with the status quo, to be satisfied with how far you've made it in the Christian life, and then to forget that the Lord gives of his Spirit for those who are united to the great Redeemer, Christ, to cause them to go on farther and farther, to abound and to grow in all of the fruits of the Spirit. It's only pride, indwelling sin, that ultimately prevents you from continuing to come to him as the Redeemer. It's Satan himself who would delight to cause you to forget your need of redemption, even years into the Christian life. Jesus Christ is the only one who is the true source of rest in this world or the next. He is the one, ultimately, that whatever rest you need in this world, in the home, in the business place, as you're out in your daily life, he is the one who provides that rest, that security in your life. And when you have him, you have everything in him. He is the one who will spread his wings over you as the Redeemer. Let's pray to him and praise him for this great redemption. Our Heavenly Father and gracious Lord, we do bless your name and praise you that you are so kind to bring us redemption. Lord, we do praise you that you've given us this illustration of these people in history who experienced the loving kindness of the Lord. And Lord, even today, though we are far removed from them, yet moment by moment, with every passing hour, Lord, you are the one who is our Redeemer from all ill. We thank you for redeeming us from the guilt and bondage of sin. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us of your Spirit that we might grow and abound and be more and more like the image of our Savior. So bless this word to our hearts, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please rise now as we praise our God, singing.